Welcome to Spirit Magazine, March 2021. Dear listeners, my brother and I decided to create a newsletter for our home called the E27 Times many years ago. That newsletter turned into a monthly gazette called the Happy Herald. The Happy Herald turned into Spirit, a monthly magazine which we continue to publish. It is our privilege and pleasure to share our writing and spirit with you. My name is Janu, and I am 16 years old and a junior in high school. I am deeply passionate about public policy, accessibility, and science, and find that these interests intersect in the human health, climate, and equity-based aspects of science. Writing and art have always been outlets for me. I am the editor-in-chief and co-founder of Spirit. Welcome again to Spirit Magazine, March 2021. And this month, we start off right away with a very natural sort of cover, I feel. It's a forest scene, it's a woodland scene, and featured prominently here is a fawn. It's a little deer with speckles on its back, and it's definitely the focus of the scene. And there's sunlight filtering in. You can tell that winter stupor is just floating away, and you're beginning to wake up for spring. And the editorial, is called Watch with Glittering Eyes. There's Gifts of Passage on page 13, Origins of the Moon on page 6, A Boy Called Know-It on page 14. And to find out what these things are, let's just dive in. Okay, page 2 is our editorial. Spirit, March 2021. Dear readers, there's a scene in the first of the Narnia books by C.S. Lewis that I always think of when spring rolls around. You might need to reread The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe to understand this reference, but Edmund is walking down a forest path and begins hearing and seeing the first signs of spring. The crocuses are blooming, the creek has thawed, and birds are singing. This spring state of mind is not exclusive to those who have been held in winter's spell. Really, it's the sense of renewal and self-revival that comes with the passing of time each year. Spring to me is a time to wake up and smell the coffee, to shake off dull fatigue and prepare for a few more months of heaviness before the lightness of June. This month, let us try to make it a priority to appreciate nature and the beauty of the natural world more. It is sometimes too easy to immerse ourselves in a synthetic world and miss out on the beauty of things such as flowers and animals. Try to go outside, feel a tree, the intricacy of the patterns on the bark, the delicate efficiency of every leaf out there, and embrace spring wherever you are. It's a mindset, not a season, a mindset for growth. With love, Editor Janu. Please do send me any thoughts, contributions, feedback you might have about this month's spirit or any month previous. It's always such a pleasure to receive reader, listener emails, and I always love to read them. And if you do send them, I'd also love to publish it under the Letters to the Editor column. And with that, here's my email, editorjanu@gmail.com. That's editorjanu. @gmail.com. And the quote of the month for March 2021, watch with glittering eyes the whole world around you, because the greatest secrets are always hidden in the most unlikely places. And this is a quote by Roald Dahl. Jane and the Fire by Janu. In 1958, young Jane has just moved to the city of Chicago, Illinois, with her parents and cousins Billy. Jane followed Mr. Bennett and some other suspicious characters to a secret meeting they held in the Park Grove. When we last left Jane, she had just managed to escape any suspicion of her presence at the Grove. Mr. Bennett had decided that he had really just seen a raccoon in the woods. Jane decides that she needs to pursue this mystery. And here begins the next installment of Jane and the Fire. Jane's mind is on the mystery at hand. The hungry eagle, she mused. Good thing tomorrow is a Saturday. I'm going to the Hungry Eagle coffee shop to find out what those people are up to. She wakes early the next morning. It's a bright and sunny Saturday, and to her delight, Jane sees the square outside the apartment packed with people. It is market day. Perfect for detective work, she thinks to herself. I can blend in with the crowd. Her good luck continues at breakfast. Jane, says Mrs. Joyce, you've been so good helping with the Billies lately. I shall be taking them shopping for produce with me today. Wouldn't you like a little money and a chance to look around the different stalls in the square? It is market day, you know, and perhaps you shall make a friend. Jane is thrilled. This must be a sign from the higher powers that she should be a detective. She hurries out after breakfast. The square is packed with people, but she pushes her way through the crowd to the Hungry Eagle coffee shop. She realizes for the first time that she doesn't know at what time the goons are planning to meet. She hopes she isn't too late and hurries into the store. Fortunately, it's almost empty except for the staff who are hurrying to prepare for the morning rush. Jane decides that she cannot go inside now. Mr. Bennett and the goons will see every single person who is in the coffee shop if they enter now, and she certainly won't be able to spy if they can keep an eye on her. She crouches behind some bushes outside the shop, preparing to watch and wait. Jane feels invisible and smug. So far, so good, until... Hello, Jane. What are you doing down there? Jane looks up with a frown to meet the matching smiles of Dawn and Paige Landry. Paige and Dawn are twins, her age. They attend Jane's school. I'm incognito, says Jane. I'm spying on a dangerous gang. Not from there, you're not, says Dawn kindly. We could see you from 2 miles away, I bet, added Paige. Jane sits up, disconcerted. At that exact moment, she sees not one, but two parties approaching the Hungry Eagle. Mr. Bennett and Mr. Peel are coming from the direction of the apartment, and Mr. McCauley is sauntering over from the opposite side. Jane looks horrified. How can I hide and spy on people inside the coffee shop? She says out loud. Hey, we can help, says Paige. Yeah, agrees Dawn. Our parents own the Hungry Eagle. We can hide in the vent. Come on. Will Jane and her new friends find a hiding spot in time? Find out soon. Give us your feedback on Jane by emailing editorjanu@gmail.com. Next we have Good Jokes Only, The Funny by Thumbu. Pagui the Pickled Pear and Friends a Spirit Original. So this is picking up from the last installment of Pagui the Pickled Pear. And here is the connection. The stranger invited the friends down a long tunnel and into a cavern underground. And then Pagui, the pickled pear, he says, thank you for saving us, but what is this place? And there's a big poster, a banner that says MC, 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 MC all over it. And there are three hooded figures surrounded by a bunch of candles all around this banner in a cave. Inside the cavern underground, that is. What does MC stand for? Mushroom College? Mushroom Club? Mushroom Circle? And this is Pagui asking all that. And one of the hooded figures responds, no, it stands for Mushroom Child. Our mystical forefather, MM, the miraculous mushroom, has disappeared, and we have been searching for him for ages. You saved our lives. Can we try finding the miraculous mushroom to repay you? This is Otto the Orange, and he's an orange who's wearing glasses, and there's a little light bulb that's popping out the side of his head because he's realized that this is a great idea. And suddenly, the hooded figure removes the hood, and to their surprise, it's a mushroom inside the hood. Thank you for your kind offer, says the mushroom. First, you need rest and food. Later, we will tell you the story of the miraculous mushroom. My name is Maurice Mushroom, by the way. What happened to the miraculous mushroom? Why did he go missing? Find out in the next chapter of Pagui and Friends. The Courageous Captain, a short story by Janu. Long, long ago, there was a country far away called Lesser Pier. This was in the old days when the sun was still a child. Lesser-Pierre was a small country filled with humble farmers and sons and daughters of the soil. The people of Lesser-Pierre were kind and noble, but weak in the matters of conquest and war, such that they never captured other provinces and hardly ever went to war. They lived in beautiful, mossy huts of stone. It was a quiet, peaceful existence that the people of Lesser-Pierre led. Next to the country of Lesser-Pierre was a much larger country. It was a powerful, war-weathered country made of warriors, businessmen, politicians. This machine of a nation was called Greater-Pierre. The queen and king of Greater-Pierre were expanding their lands at a fantastic pace. Every day, it seemed, a new province would fall to their armies. Quite soon, Greater-Pierre and its sub-countries occupied most of the continent. The peoples of the world spoke of Greater-Pierre in hushed voices. They spoke of armies so large that their combined footfalls caused earthquakes. Finally, the rulers of Greater-Pierre turned to the lush forests and peaceful farmland of Lesser-Pierre. The people of Lesser-Pierre were horrified. There was not the time nor the resources for them to build up an army or an armory. In war, they would surely lose. The Lesser-Pierreans sent a messenger requesting mercy to the queen and king of Greater-Pierre. The rulers of this nation pitied the hard-working, good people of Lesser-Pierre, but they did not wish to relinquish this easy victory for nothing. Then they offered an ultimatum. The Lesser-Pierreans could avoid war if they brought the diamond at the end of the earth to the Greater-Pierreans, or the D-A-T-E-O-T-E for short. The king of Lesser-Pierre beat his head, paced around his court, and tried to think of a solution to this dreadful quandary. Just as the people despaired and set out to prepare for inevitable loss in battle, a captain of the army stepped up and offered to sail to the ends of the earth in order to find the D-A-T-E-O-T-E. After many days of sailing and many struggles, the courageous captain reached the end of the world. To his surprise, there wasn't a D-A-T-E-O-T-E in sight at all. Instead, there was a sun-like object in the sky. "Why, captain," said the first mate, "the D-A-T-E-O-T-E is in the sky." "Yes, indeed. But it isn't a D-A-T-E-O-T-E, so we cannot call it so," said the captain. "Let us call it the Much Overdue Object Notice, or the M-O-O-N for short. We can only return notice of this new thing, for we cannot offer this thing from the sky as tribute." The rulers of Greater-Pierre were thrilled with the knowledge of this new celestial body, and immediately accepted the title of Moon. And to this day, the D-A-T-E-O-T-E is called the Moon. The end, the courageous captain. Next is the Cooking Collie column, innovative recipes, and also your favorite classics. And this month, it's featuring lavash bread pizza by Janu Recipe Co. Cam. With spring comes a wider range of in-season veggies and a more interesting palate for cuisine. This original take on standard pizza is as healthy or as indulgent as you want it to be. Plus, it is an ideal food choice for quick weeknight dinners with a 5-minute prep time and a 15-minute bake time. Here are the ingredients. Pre-made lavash bread sold at grocery stores. That's ingredient number one. 2, tomato paste. 3, pizza sauce. 4, Parmesan cheese. 5, mozzarella cheese. And number 6, a wide variety of veggies or any other topping as you prefer, such as tomatoes, bell peppers, olives, jalapeno peppers, diced potato, carrots, baby spinach, etc. Anything, it's totally up to you. Whatever you prefer. There's also an image here of the lavash bread pizza, and it is making me hungry. All right, here is the recipe. First, simply spread the lavash bread with tomato paste and pizza sauce. Then, top it up with cheese. Slice up the vegetables of your choice. Add the sliced vegetables over the cheese. Bake for 15 minutes at a temperature 350 degrees Fahrenheit or 180 degrees Celsius. Garnish it generously with basil and oregano. That's it. But here's where you can get creative. Experiment. Try replacing the pizza sauce with homemade basil and tomato. Reduce the amount of cheese and replace the standard veggies with broccoli. Try green olives, feta cheese, or sun-dried tomatoes. But be sure to let us know your results. If you have a special recipe that you'd like to share with us, please email editorjanu@gmail.com for it to appear in the Cooking Collie column. We'd love to share it. Next, we have our Fine Arts column, and this month there are three digital photos. First off, we have Sweet Spring Rose, a beautiful just-bloomed rose, and it's been photographed in the still moment by KJ. Next, we have New England, which is a digital photo by myself, and it features a boy, my brother, looking up at a barn, and there's a little bit of sunlight coming in, although it's a winter scene. And last of all, we have Turtle's Busy Day, a photo by Naveen, and this photo features a turtle, and it's out on a lake. This is a very summery moment. The water looks very green, and the turtle's looking up at the sky. It's sitting on a log. Kind of interesting. Are you an artist, poet, photographer, or a writer? Send us your artwork, composition, photography, etc. to see it featured in a future edition of Spirit. Please email editorjanu@gmail.com with inquiries. Okay, next we have Spirit Athletics, The Grandmaster Koneru Humpi by Garuda. The Spirit Athletic team is so excited to travel virtually more than 8,000 miles to find the chess grandmaster, Koneru Humpi in India. Humpi is an Indian chess player who is the current Women's World Rapid Chess Champion and 2020 BBC Indian Sportswoman of the Year. Humpi was born in Andhra Pradesh, India, to parents Ashok and Latha Koneru. Her father, who was a chess player himself, identified the potential of chess in her and started coaching her at the very young age of 6. And the rest is history now. Humpi won 3 gold medals at the World Youth Chess Championship before she turned 14 years old. In 2002, she became the youngest woman chess grandmaster at the age of 15 years and 57 days. In March of 2020, she won the Cairns Cup of the United States of America by scoring 2,502 points. The Republic of India honored Humpi with the Padma Shri, the 4th highest civilian award, and the Arjuna Award, the highest sports performance award. Humpi started breaking the gender barriers in chess by competing and winning against men in the open competitions. Humpi is now the mother of a 4-year-old daughter. She said after receiving her BBC ISWOTY award, "A female player should never think about quitting her game. Marriage and motherhood are just part of our lives, and they should not change the course of our lives. Well done, Grandmaster." Next, we have Jot Thoughts Reviews, Critique on Literature, and more. This month, we're looking at a really good one. It's The Gifts of Passage by Santha Rama Rao, a book review by Janu. Some books are so descriptive and so immersive that you can't stop reading them until you've reached the end, at which point you flip over the cover and look for more pages. Gifts of Passage by Santha Rama Rao was one such book. It is indeed written by witty world traveler Santha Rama Rao. Gifts of Passage takes readers on a journey with the author from her childhood to her grown-upness. Along the way, she documents a changing India and preserves the colorful, unique beauty of the nation. Rama Rao links seemingly disparate episodes together to tell a long story of life. It is really an amazing novel, good for adults and kids alike. From humorous tales of her youth in India, to a spy story in South America, to more experiences in Russia, South Africa, and other far places, Rama Rao tackles difficult subjects in dangerous times with poise and neat skills. It's not a perfect book, but it is a deeply engaging one. Take an hour or two and dive into this book, into countries, situations, marketplaces far away. It'll be worth it. Rating, 4 stars. It really is an amazing book, and to repeat the title one more time, it's Gifts of Passage by Santha Rama Rao. And if you've ever wanted to travel to India virtually, this is the book to do it. Letters to the editor. Please send yours to editorjanu@gmail.com. Dear Janu, I look forward to each new edition of Spirit and always love to see what new and interesting pieces you and the team have created. I'm very excited to see what adventures Pagui will be having and look forward to more delicious recipes. The vegan donuts came out simply scrumptious. From Jody Marie. Thank you, Jody Marie. What fantastic picks in the fine art column. Thank you for the snack suggestions in the wellness column. I'm always looking forward to the nice recipes and stories. The cartoons are very sweet and remind me of my childhood favorites, Peanuts and Calvin and Hobbes. Well done. From Selena. Thanks, Selena. Really appreciate it. Very appreciative of the cantaloupe article in Fruit of the Month. Not a huge fan of cantaloupes myself, but I'm willing to give them a try as they seem really healthy. The Gladiator was a fantastic film. Naveen's review of it was spot on, absolutely. Hank Aaron is quite the legend. Sports column is great. Nice stories, great writing. Thank you, Spirit Team. From Louie. Thank you so much to everyone who sent lovely letters to the editor, to myself. I really, really appreciate them. Love to read them and love hearing what you think. So thank you for that. Next we have Fruit of the Month, Dragon Fruit, It's Legendary by Janu. When I hear dragon, I don't think fruit. I think fire-breathing monster. But perhaps the many powerful health benefits of dragon fruit will convince me that the fruit is as legendary as its namesake. Dragon fruits originate in the tropics and get their name because of their mythically vibrant coloring and their scales. But I know that you want to know, what are the benefits? Dragon fruits are low in calories but are packed with nutrients and minerals. They contain a lot of fiber, protein, vitamin E, and more. They're very antioxidant rich and have been proven to combat arthritis, diabetes, cancers, and heart disease. They contain carotenoids, which are shown to reduce the risk of numerous diseases, including cancer, heart disease. Okay, we're bringing up fiber again. They have 7 grams of fiber. Seriously! Dragon fruits are proven to promote a healthy gut. They boost the immune system. Dragon fruits contain vitamin C and other nutrients that combat free radicals. Also, dragon fruits are rich in iron. They are also rich in magnesium, which is conducive to bone health. Pop them in your smoothies, have them with ice cream, make sorbet with them, or just eat them. I'd say that dragon fruits do live up to the hype. What do you think? Alrighty, now it's time for the grand finale of March. Ye Olde Folktales, and this is Naveen's Ye Olde Retold Folktales column, and this month's story is The Boy Called Know-It, retold by Naveen. I really enjoy this story, it's a really good one. Are you ready? Okay. Once upon a time, a man, a woman, and their 3 sons lived in a forest by the sea. One day, the man died. He did not have many material possessions on this earth, so the widow and her 3 sons were very poor. In order to survive, the boys had to go far into the forest to hunt. The older 2 brothers never allowed their younger sibling to accompany them into the forest, and they always called him No-Wit. Everyone laughed at the youngest brother because of all the foolish mistakes he made, and all of the people in their village thought of him as a simpleton because of his slow ways. However, his mother always said that he would one day prove to be the most intelligent of them all. There's a picture here of a wolf, and you'll see the connection in a minute. It just so happened that the chief of the village had a beautiful daughter. He said that, when she was of age to marry, the man with the most prowess in hunting would win her hand. All the youths in the village practiced hunting and went on expeditions to become better hunters. The two elder brothers, who were preparing to go set out on a hunting expedition, were dismayed when their mother commanded them to bring their younger brother along. Grumbling, they called him and went into the forest. Now, the two elder brothers were the best hunters in the village, but the youngest, whom everyone called Know-It, had no such skill. While their brothers caught many animals, he only found an earthworm. Well, everyone made fun of him, but he thought that the earthworm was a great curiosity. It was the fattest and longest he had ever seen. He returned home, and, while all the other boys in the village were hunting, he sat alone in his backyard, playing with his worm. One day, a duck came down the road and swallowed the earthworm. The furious boy went to the owner of the duck and demanded that the earthworm be returned. The startled man said that as the earthworm was in the duck's belly, there was nothing he could do about it. The boy insisted on the duck instead, and the man, thinking it was useless to argue with a fool, gave it to him. The boy left the duck in the backyard and went into his house. A lean fox came along, and spying the duck, swallowed it whole. The boy, who was furious at losing his duck and his earthworm, clubbed the fox and left it unconscious in the backyard. Lastly, a wolf, thinking he had found a free meal, ate the fox. In an outrage, the boy ran out of his hut and shot the wolf with an arrow. Then he thought to himself, "I am a lucky fellow, for now I have a wolf, fox, duck, and earthworm." He made a drum out of the skin of the wolf and spent his days playing it. At last, the day came when the chief would choose his daughter's husband. All the youths in the village, except the boy called Know-It, were invited. The chief asked the boy, Know-It, to borrow his drum, because it was the only instrument in the village, for the ceremonies. The boy said, "All right, but be very careful with it, the drum, as it contains my wolf, fox, duck, and earthworm." The chief had no idea what the boy meant, but he agreed to be careful and left. Later, he banged the drum a little too hard, and it ripped beyond repair. The chief brought back the ruined drum. The boy was grief-stricken, but the chief said that he could have anything he wanted because he had lost his drum. The boy, seeing a chance for good fortune, requested the hand of the chief's daughter. The chief had given his word, so the boy was married to his daughter, and they lived happily ever after. The two elder brothers and all the youths in the village were stunned, as Know-It had, in their mind, stolen their bride. But the boy's mother only laughed and said, "I told you the boy would prove himself more intelligent than you, and now he has done it." The end of The Boy Called Know-It and the end of Spirit Magazine, March 2021. I hope you enjoyed it. I'd love to hear what you think, and on behalf of the Spirit Team, thank you for listening. So long until next time. Bye!